Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, she hoped she'd left the entity behind when she moved out, but some things don't seem to care where you live.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Thank you so much for listening, and we love to hear your real ghost stories. So if you have one, please share it. If you want to leave us a voicemail, call 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want to be a premium subscriber, get advanced episodes, access to the archive, no commercials, you can sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. I'm Carol Hughes, Kathy Gordon.
Well, so we have ghosts that just don't get the message.
Yep. Yep. You know, that's one thing I don't want. I don't want an attachment. You know, really? It's like, because you can go someplace and you're like, ooh, picking up on all the bad vibes, but it can stay there. It's like, I don't want anybody following me place to place. It's like, enough. What is it? Why are you doing this?
I oddly feel like I have something with me. I just feel like I do. So there's that. But then there's times that it's something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I think whatever's with me is more like a protective guardian spirit of sorts.
And mostly kind of background.
Yes, yes. But these other things, that's something different over there. Yeah.
So I don't know. I feel bad for people who are kind of plagued with it. We hear from time to time people who have always kind of, they've got this stuff going on and they move to a new house. It follows them there. We had one just the other day. Remember the guy who'd written in and he had moved to like three or four houses with his family and it just kept happening.
That's
and then it finally, I can't remember how it went away or why, but finally it seemed to stop.
Mm-hmm.
But this one says, in 2016, I moved into a rental townhouse in Indianapolis with my best friend, Rowan, and her boyfriend, Nate. It wasn't fancy, but it felt comfortable. The moment we walked in, like whoever lived there before us had treated it well. Cozy kitchen, staircase on the right, a narrow hallway leading back to the living room. Upstairs, my room was directly across from theirs with a bathroom in between. It was a friendly layout during the day, but at night, those doorways turned into dark little openings that always made me uneasy. And the mirrors, they make me uneasy too. I've never done well with mirrors in low light. One night, long after Rowan and Nate had gone to bed, I was up late on the couch watching TV. I couldn't sleep and figured a mindless show might help me wind down. I didn't want to turn on too many lights, so the living room lamp was the only thing on. Before heading upstairs, I ducked into the small half bath near the hallway. Even with the light outside, the bathroom felt dim, too dim. I washed my hands without ever lifting my eyes to the mirror. That prickly, you're being watched feeling crawled up my spine, and I stepped out faster than I meant to. From the living room, I had two ways to reach the stairs. Go through the bright kitchen or follow the long hallway and walk right past that cracked bathroom door. I do not know why I chose the hallway. Maybe I thought I could prove to myself that I wasn't scared, or maybe I was just tired. And as I walked by the bathroom, something caught my peripheral vision, a face. Not the whole thing, just an eye in the curve of a cheekbone peeking through the narrow gap of the bathroom door, watching me. I didn't want to get a better look. I bolted up the stairs, slammed my bedroom door, locked it, and leaned against it like something was about to chase me in there. But nothing happened. No footsteps, no sound, just silence and the pounding of my own heart. I did not tell Rowan or Nate. They'd already joked about me being jumpy, and I didn't want to hear them explain it away. Months later, as our lease was ending, we started packing up the living room. Rowan had an old china cabinet from her grandmother, beautiful but heavy, filled with delicate porcelain pieces that she kept arranged just right. As we were boxing things up, I noticed a teacup in a weird position. It wasn't sitting neatly on its saucer anymore. Instead, it was perched right on the edge of the shelf, half hanging out over nothing and leaning against the glass door. If anyone had opened that cabinet, the cup would have crashed to the floor. I asked Rowan and then Nate if either of them had moved it. They both shook their heads. The cabinet hadn't been touched in weeks, and none of us had been near it. We packed the tea set immediately. After we moved out, Rowan and Nate got their own apartment. I moved back in with my parents for a while as I adjusted to a new night shift job. Their house always had a different kind of atmosphere. It was nothing obvious, but enough that you noticed how quiet it got at night. One early morning, after coming home from a shift, I was downstairs grabbing something I needed from the basement storage area. It was around 4 a.m. and the house was completely still. As I stood in the back corner, looking through a box, I heard footsteps come down the stairs. Slow, heavy enough that they sounded deliberate, so I assumed it was my dad checking on me. I called out a hello and turned around, but no one was there. The stairs were empty and the basement was colder than it should have been. Trying not to overthink it, I headed for the stairs. Halfway up, something shoved me. Not a brush, not a bump, but an actual shove. A firm hand pressing into the center of my lower back hard enough to knock me forward. I caught myself on the railing. My heart was racing, and I sprinted up the rest of the steps. I slammed the basement door behind me and stood there shaking, listening for anyone to follow me. Nothing moved. From that night on, I refused to go into that basement alone. My parents asked why, and I just told them I just don't like it down there. That was all I could manage. To this day, I don't know if whatever I saw in that townhouse found me again or if my parents' house had its own history that I didn't know about. I hope they were two separate things, because the alternative that something followed me across the city is worse than the face I saw behind the bathroom door. That thing seemed to watch me so calmly, like it was waiting for me. Thanks for listening to my story. I appreciate you sharing it, Emily. So do you think it could be the same thing?
Oh, I am really a little...
I'm not picking up that it's the same thing.
I'm really a little stumped on this one. I am assuming that in the house, the first house, that there was pretty much a constant feel like something was watching. The worst case happened that one night, but I have a feeling the way that Emily talked about it was that she was always not wanting to look in mirrors or always feeling, you know, the chills and the little goosebumps on you, how you get with your, when you feel like you're being watched by something. In the parents' house, I didn't get that feeling except for the basement.
Mm-hmm.
So in which case, if I just kind of try to make a couple quick observations here. The first house, it was a continuous second house only in the basement. That leads me to believe it did not follow her. It was two separate things.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I think.
Because she would be feeling it all over the house of the parents.
Yes. Right?
So I'm thinking we got two different things happening here. She's just a super sensitive. So she's going to pick up on things that other people don't.
But man, the idea that something would push you while you're on the stairs, that really bothers me.
Well, me too. And we hear of it happening periodically that someone will say, you know, they were going up the stairs and felt something.
Because it's one thing when you go up the stairs and you just kind of don't do it right. You know, you kind of like you're walking up the stairs and you don't quite put your foot all the way on one step.
I just biff it. That's all there is to it. I biff it all the time.
Yeah, I think we all don't always walk up the steps like exactly right.
I can get caught in a, you know, like a, if you're walking into the store, a glass door, somehow I can be caught in it. Right. I don't even know how. Like,
I was going up an escalator.
Did it stop on you?
Okay, so I was on the escalator and it stopped. Okay. And when an escalator stops, I'm just going to tell you, it sounds like a freaking freight train in the middle of JCPenney's. And so this woman who worked at JCPenney's, thank God I didn't fall and hurt myself. I was just kind of stepping off right then, and I stepped off. And the woman comes running up to me and she goes, "What did you do to the escalator?" I'm like, what can you do to an escalator? And I'm like, What the hell are you talking about? Like, it scared the shit out of me, lady. Like,
yeah, I was just standing there and I thought, wonder what this switch does.
And she's like, you broke it. And I, like, at that time, hell? Probably soaking wet, I weighed 115 pounds. Like, I was this little thing.
What do you mean you broke it?
And she's saying I broke it. So I awkwardly stood there.
It was just a switch on an escalator that you could just
do. And what ended up happening, I found out later, because we were talking about it on the radio. And this guy calls up and he goes, oh, you're the one who broke the escalator. Oh. And I go, what? And he goes, my wife was working there. We didn't realize it was you. But the, like one of the little teeth things like at the bottom of an escalator, the one that my friend was going up on and her shoestring got caught.
Oh, yeah.
And like she landed flat.
Yeah, but, that can happen.
Yeah. One of those little teeth things broke and it got jammed in there and it stopped the escalator. I did not break it. Like
you did not.
That is like major metal. Like a 115-pound woman could not break that.
No.
But I'll never forget that woman coming up. What did you do?
Oh, jeez.
And then I was just standing there awkwardly, like, is someone coming to interrogate me? And then there was such a crowd because it was so loud that I just left.
All those JCPenney judgmentals.
But nothing pushed me. You know what I mean? It's like,
right.
You feeling, walking up the stairs and tripping or whatever is different than when you get pushed in the middle of your back. I mean, that is a...
And she was feeling creeped out before just being down there. And so I am assuming she was going up those stairs pretty quickly. Like, she's heading up, right? And it was as if something just knew it and gave her that last little shove kind of thing. That's weird. I just feel like there's two things. There's different entities. Emily is just sensitive. Wherever she goes, she's going to run into different things.
But I don't like something like that that seems to be wanting to hurt you.
Well, and we had recently a story where a hairbrush was thrown.
Yeah.
And hard enough to hit him in the back and hurt. That's not good. But like I said, I have a feeling that if it was the same thing, you'd feel it all over your parents' house.
And I'd be the same way. If something pushed me on the stairs, I'd be like, I ain't going down by myself.
No.
Well, let's go to our next caller.
I just wanted to say that I just started recently listening to the podcast, and I love it. And I just wanted to share one of my stories. It happened probably about 5-6 years ago. I was sitting at home in High Level, Alberta. I seen out of the corner of my eye a shadow walk from one side of the room, of our living room, to our kitchen. I didn't think anything of it, so I just turned the TV up, kept watching TV. A few minutes after that, I heard something slam into, like, the fridge or the stove or something. It sounded like a big bang. I went into the room, and all of my cupboards were open along the bottom. I shut them up and walked back into the living room. That day went by, nothing else happened. A couple days later, me and my fiance at the time were laying in bed. And she said she'd seen somebody walk into the room, but there was nobody in there. Again, didn't think anything of it. We just kind of played it off like she just saw something. That night, when we were going to sleep, I seen the same thing. A tall, dark shadow, probably about 6 feet tall, come into the bedroom. He was wearing a black coat with a white shirt underneath, what looked like dark brown pants of some sort. I got up, I turned the light on, we searched the whole room, never seen anything. So we laid back down, and as I was going to sleep, I felt a sharp pressure, like right in the middle of my chest. Like it was hard to breathe, and it felt like somebody was sitting on me at the time. So I kept moving around, trying to get comfortable. I couldn't. Eventually, I fell asleep. what seemed like probably 5-6 hours of sleep was really only about 15 minutes. And I woke up to a lady's face hovering right above mine, probably within 5 inches of my face. I seen a woman's face. I couldn't see no body. I was completely paralyzed. I couldn't move. I couldn't talk. All I could do was stare straight into her eyes. It was the most terrifying, scary feeling that I have ever felt in my life. Seeing her right there, knowing I couldn't move, I couldn't do nothing. I tried my best to scream. I tried my best to grab my fiance's arm to get her to look, but it just seemed like I couldn't move. Finally, after what felt like 5 minutes, I broke free and I just screamed. It just all came out at once, one big loud scream. And I woke up the whole house. Everybody came running to the room asking what the hell was going on. I told them the story. All of them got goosebumps. None of them could believe what happened. It's happened to me twice since then. And we've moved out of that house since then. Probably a year or two after we moved out of that house and moved to another one. In our new house, we've started hearing stuff, seeing stuff, and feeling stuff. My one daughter, who was probably about 3 years old at the time, was sleeping down in her bedroom. It was probably about 10:30 at night, and we were upstairs watching TV. The kids were downstairs sleeping in the bedroom, and I heard her scream, a scream I've never heard out of her before, like somebody was about to murder her. I dropped everything, ran downstairs as fast as I possibly could. I turned the light on and she was curled up in the corner of her bed, hugging her pillow and crying. I sat down beside her. I asked her what was wrong. She looked at me and said the man scared her. I asked her what man was she talking about. She pointed towards the door, which was kind of adjacent from our bathroom, and we had the light on. She said, there's a man standing at our door. I said, what, baby? What did you say? She said, Daddy, there's a man at our door. I looked over. I said, no, baby, there's nobody there. Just go back to sleep. So I laid her down. I laid with her for a bit, gave her a kiss, and she fell back asleep. As soon as I turned the light off and started walking down the hallway, she jumped up again and screamed. She said, the man, the man, the man. I ran back to the bedroom. I flipped the light on. And as I flipped the light on, I seen the sheets on the opposite bed in the room drop, like somebody was lifting them. I got her out of that room so fast, I laid her in my bedroom. We both laid down, and as we were falling asleep, she said, he has a knife. I said, excuse me? She said, he has a knife, help. I didn't know what to do. We packed up our stuff that night and went to a hotel. We ended up going back to that house, and she hasn't seen the man since, but we've heard footsteps coming up and down the stairs. We've had some very peculiar dreams, like once in the middle of the night when my parents were staying there, I heard my dad, mid-sleep, two hearts fell at the bottom of the stairs. I didn't know what to think, so I just kind of followed up on it. I'm kind of into the paranormal stuff, and I like it, so I went and grabbed my camera. I started snapping pictures of the bottom of the stairs. I snapped one picture. I looked. There was two orbs. There's two orbs in the camera. So I thought, holy shit. I took another picture. They were gone. I went to the bottom of the stairs and started taking pictures up the stairs. Sure enough, there was the two orbs. Took another picture. Sure enough, they were up a little bit higher on the stairs. It seemed like they were walking up the stairs, two orbs side by side. They disappeared around the corner. I ran up the stairs and started taking pictures up the other set of stairs to the top where the living room and kitchen were. And as I was snapping pictures, I seen the orbs again going up the stairs, up the stairs. As soon as they hit the top of the stairs, both orbs disappeared. They were nowhere to be found. About 2 weeks later, we were sitting in the living room, watching TV. Remote was sitting up on the end table beside us. I was sitting on the couch. My daughter was laying up against me cuddling. And the TV just started flicking through channels. And it wasn't like it was searching through channels where it goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. No, it was going 243, 254, 322, 1048, like jumping between channels. The remote was sitting beside us. Nobody was.
And then his call cut off right there.
Oh, no.
I know. But I definitely think we have established that he lives in an extremely haunted house.
Well, wait a minute. He's lived in two extremely haunted houses.
But I feel bad, like, for him, though, because I think, you know, it's one thing if you're interested in the paranormal, you're dealing with stuff. But when it's messing with your kids like that.
Yeah, that's a different.
That I don't like at all.
Okay. A couple things maybe to think about here is, do you think, because we had it start in one house and there seemed to be a man, and then he did have a sleep paralysis where he saw a woman's face. Mm-hmm.
That would terrify me.
So we kind of have these two possible entities. Then he's got the two orb business. I guess my question is, do you think this could be something that's attached to an object that they brought with them when they moved? I mean, I might seriously start thinking, did I buy something, bring it in the house when we lived at the other house, and it's come with us?
I mean, it certainly could be.
I mean, it's an idea. I'm just throwing out ideas. Of course, we could go have the house blessed route. I would do something, even if you're interested in the paranormal, I still think I might do something to put your children, your daughter's mind at ease.
Mm-hmm.
Bless it. Do something to see if you can contain it somewhat. Talk to it. Say, you know, it's one thing around me. It's another around my daughter. How dare you? That's just not okay.
But my God, to wake up in the middle of the night and something is inches away from your face.
Right.
That would freak me out so bad. Like, it's one thing when you wake up and it's your cat. I mean, that happens all the time.
Right.
But to see a face,
mm-hmm.
something like, and then, I hate it.
And it seemed like it was, you know, pervasive. Like the fiance had said, you know, I saw a figure, a man, something in the room. They tried to look for it, but couldn't find it. Then later he does see it and described clothing like dark brown, da, da, da. You know, he could see it very well. But I think, like I said, I think a couple ideas is I would really rack my brain to think if I had maybe purchased something at the other house that came with me to the new one. Is there an old mirror? Is there an old piece of furniture? Is there something, a dresser, a buffet, a cupboard, something that you brought along? I would think that way. I might also then go ahead, sage, bless, you know, do something, and then maybe talk, or maybe all three.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I would definitely have a talk with it and say, you know, I acknowledge you.
I would try all of the things.
Let's do all the things, but I realize you're here, but stay away from the children. Let's just be real.
I mean, his poor child was terrified.
Yeah. And well, she said he had a knife.
Yeah.
You know, so I think about all of these possibilities. And like I said, and we agree, like we understand the allure and being into the paranormal. But obviously, we understand all that. But you've got this daughter you've got to, you know, protect.
Yeah, that would be the hardest thing when you have a kid being that kind of affected by it. Mm-hmm. Well, if you have a real ghost story, share it with us. If you want to call it in, call 855-853-4802. Write it down at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you would like to be a premium subscriber, get advanced episodes, access to the archive without the commercials, sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you so much for listening.